Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Well, that was just for the mothers. You guys don't say that back. We're glad you're here. Glad you came out and be with us today. It is Mother's Day, and just want to remind you that there is no evening service tonight, and so just to remember that. Also, if you're a senior adult, our senior adults, we're having our monthly lunch this Tuesday, the 14th. Out in the Family Life Center, and we just encourage you to sign up for that and come. We have a great time of fellowship, some good food, and the sign-up sheet's back around the corner back there. Also, just want to remind you that next Sunday at 9:30 to 10 in the Faithful Servants Building, we're having a little go-away fellowship for Jason and Brenda Sango, and many of y'all know them, been very faithful members, very involved members for many years here, and they're going to be moving. As soon as our school year is up, Brenda teaches in our school and going over to be closer to their children. And so make sure you at least say something to them. If not, if you come, there's coffee and donuts for that. And we told the early service, if they want to get up in the middle of the sermon's pastor's sermon and go back there at 9:30, it was okay. But we hope you can be part of that. Also want to remind you that there's a lot of things happening with Vacation Bible School coming up. I encourage you to look at your bulletin. There's a lot of meetings and things. I think next Sunday, if you could help us, is another cookie Sunday, Oreo-style cookies. They don't have to be Oreos. It can be any kind of store brand of that, chocolate or vanilla, whatever you could. And there's a little treasure box right here in the foyer. You can drop them off there next Sunday. We'll have several hundred young people here who need a lot of cookies for refreshment time, and that would be a help to us. But also, please note, there's visitation days where we go out and hand out flyers about VBS. A lot of things coming up with that, so please please note that. I'd like to welcome you here if you're visiting because of Mother's Day, and if hopefully you got a visitor's card when you came in, and we encourage you to fill that out. Just we have record of your visit, drop that in the offering plate, but welcome. We're glad that you could be here with us. Also want to welcome back a lot of our college students. I see some back. There were some in the early service. Welcome back. We have a kind of a hole over here. Our Chinese students that are college students, they're on our Chinese ministry. They're off on a camping trip this weekend. So if you're wondering why it looks vacant over there, that's they're gone to that. Also, want to mention Wayne and Chris Edes, their last Sunday. Where are you at? There they are. They're heading. I don't know where they're going, but we're sad that you're going. So make sure you tell them you're going to miss them and say goodbye to them. I know I'm forgetting something, but let's bow and open our service with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for just an opportunity to come and worship here this morning. We thank you for the moms. Father, we just pray that you would help us be encouraging to them. Father, if our moms are no longer here, Father, we just remember them and honor them with our thoughts and with our lives. Father, we pray for this service that you would use it to draw us closer to yourself. Father, that we would, as your words preached, as hymns are sung and special music and things like that, Lord, that you just minister to our hearts. And Father, we pray if someone comes today, doesn't know for sure heaven's their home, they'd understand what Christ has done for them, how he died on the cross for them, he shed his blood, he paid for their sins, he rose from the dead, and that he will give the everlasting life to those that put their trust in him as their Savior. Father, again, please bless our time now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. And let's take our songbook now this morning. Learn to number 410. 410. If you're physically able to, would you stand together with us as we sing? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know. Thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just His first, His cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet. Trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. And as while you're still standing, number 149, I've asked Brother Bruce to come and sing the first verse of He Giveth More Grace, and then we'll sing the second verse of Congregation with him. Aren't you glad for how God gives to us today? One more song, number 511. 511. Only a sinner saved by grace. Are you one of those today? Say amen. Number three, suffer a sinner whose heart overflows. And that's the old English word for allow a sinner whose heart overflows.
Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows. Loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace.
Talk to a sinner next to you today and tell them you're saved by grace.
sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved.
We could never earn it. We could never merit it. We could never deserve it. Thank God for His grace today. Amen, folks. Pastor, would you come? Also, if you're here today visiting, you have in front of you there in the pew pocket a guest card, registration card, information card. We call it a connection card. We'd like you to fill that out as well.
Good to see you. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers. We have a special gift for our mothers after the service. When you go leave the building today, make sure you pick one of those up, a special gift for all our mothers. A couple quick announcements is we have some exciting things planned for this summer. We have what we call Super Summer Sunday Night Fellowships following each service, evening service during the summer. And we've got 8 of them. And I've asked each of our deacons, along with their families that they oversee, to take in charge one of those activities. So next Sunday night, after the evening service, we're going to ask you to come and meet with your deacon. He's going to share with you what activity he has and what part you can have in helping to make that successful. Now, you only have been in charge with one of them. After that, you can sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the fellowships. But that meeting will be next Sunday night following the evening service. Also, in your bulletin has a bright, is this lime green and yellow? What'd you call that? A bright color sheet of paper. It talks about our Summer Bible Institute. We're doing it again this year. That's on Wednesday nights. And there's 4 different classes to choose from. Please look those over. And next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet for which class you'd like to sign up for. Be first come, first served. So keep that in mind. So look that over and find which one you might like to come and take. It's a class taught on a college level without any exams. So you can learn a lot from that. So please come and be a part of that. As we pray for the offering, I want to pray, many of you know Benji Nichols, Pastor Nichols is out of town. His procedure we've been praying for a long time, I believe, is Tuesday. And we're praying this procedure would take effect and he can get back to normality. He's been having so many issues, so much pain. And so that is Tuesday, so we need to pray for him. So I'm going to ask Brother Bob, he would come and pray for that procedure from Benji Nichols. Also, I believe there was a slide on the screen there. Our outreach for a mission conference that we had, I think it was $158,000 that you committed towards missions. And so we're so grateful for that. That was during the month of March. And so that's the yearly commitment. So we're so grateful for the sacrifice you made. What we would do, because some people ask us how we do each month with that. Once a month, we're going to have a screen that shows you how much money goes out per month for our missionaries and how much money has come in. So you can get an idea of what has been given and be praying about that. So it'll be once a month. But right now, you can see $158,000. It says there are $572.60 that this church has committed towards missions. God bless you and your sacrifice to help us reach our world for Christ. So, Brother Bob, if you pray for our missionaries, and also pray for Benji Nichols, his procedure, and the Lord to bless the offering, please.
Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for all the mothers. We thank you for our mothers. Lord, as we go through this day, let us remember our missionaries that are out there doing your work. We thank you for the money raised that we can support them, Lord. We pray for Benji Nichols for the procedure that he's going to be enduring on Tuesday. We pray that it'll bring him back to a normal, healthy, young life, Lord, that he can do the things that a young man at his age would be able to do. We pray also, Lord, for the message that was going to be received today by Pastor. Let it reach all of us, Lord, in a mighty way. We pray for the offering that we're about to take up. We pray that it will advance your kingdom. We thank you again for the grace that you show us and the love and kindness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, if you turn to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, if you didn't bring your Bible today, there's one in the pew. We encourage you to use that in the service as we will be turning to passages in the Bible. If you borrow one of those Bibles, it's page 580. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll be reading out loud, and I encourage you to read along silently with me. And if you have 2 Kings chapter 4, if you're physically able to, if you'd stand out of respect for God and His Word. We're going to be reading 2 Kings 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just ask your blessing on this time now as your word is going to be preached. We pray for our servant, your servant, as he delivers the message you give, Pastor, the very words that are needed this morning. It might be an encouragement and help to mothers and to everyone here. Lord, we pray if someone's come this morning and they don't know for sure heaven's their home, that they'd understand what Christ has done for them, how he died for them and paid their debt of sin and rose from the dead. And Father, that if they would put their trust in Christ, that they can have everlasting life when the moment they do that. So Father, we pray if anyone has come like that, that they would trust Christ even this morning as their Savior. Father, we just, again, please help us focus in and be attentive to your word this morning and bless our time here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come broken. lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come.
So, Marie, so how many are glad that God takes us just the way we are? Amen. Turn your Bibles again to 2 Kings chapter 4, please. Today is a special day to honor our mothers, the two greatest mothers in the world. One's in heaven, that's my mother. She passed away on December 25th and went to heaven. And so, first Christmas in heaven and first Mother's Day, she's in heaven now. So I'm asking the Lord to tell my mother, happy Mother's Day, that I love her. The second greatest mother in all the world is sitting up here on the front row, and that's my wife. In fact, somebody between the service come and told me how lucky I am to have such a wife. And I said, yes, I am. God has blessed me wonderfully with a wonderful wife who is a wonderful mother. So I'm sure you have a wonderful mother in your life, too. But anyway, this morning we're going to look at a mother's faith. The scripture we're going to look at, let me give you some historical background of what was going on during this time in the life of this mother. Israel is in a state of rebellion and apostasy against God at this time. But however, God has always had a faithful remnant, a faithful few, in despite of how the crowd was going, who loved him and served him no matter what other people were doing. And so this is the case here. It shows how God takes care of his people, especially even a mother of faith who had lost her husband. So here's a time of great apostasy and great rebellion. There's one woman who loved the Lord, who served the Lord, and God took care of her in spite of all that was going on around Israel. So this morning I'd like to look at three things about a woman, a mother of faith. We'll look at, number one, the priorities of a mother of faith, the problems of a mother of faith, and the practice of a mother of faith. So let's begin, number one, let's talk about the priorities of a mother of faith. Look in verse 1, please, 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. So prior to this man passing, we have a father and mother working together to provide for their family. There was a family of four, a husband, a wife, and two sons. And notice this man was a husband that was in the ministry. He was training for the ministry. It refers to that he was one of the sons of the prophets. This was a schooling that Elijah himself had established to train young men to be prophets for Israel. Elisha took it over. In fact, it went all the way into the life of Samuel, a prophet, training young men to be prophets. This man who passed away was one of these men training for the ministry. He was also a man who feared and served the Lord, it says there in verse 1. This wife, said, "Thy servant, my husband," went on to say, "thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." So he was one of the few that kept the faith and integrity during a time of great rebellion. In fact, the previous book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 19, Elijah had just had a great victory on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. And right after that, Jezebel threatened to kill him. And he ran for his life, was hiding out in the wilderness, kind of pouting, and he felt like he was all alone. And God told him there were over 7,000 have not yet bowed their knees to Baal. And no doubt this was the man was one of them, including Elisha. So this man was one of the sons of the prophets. He's a man who feared God and served the Lord. He also had a wife who served with him. He's referred there as a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. No doubt he took care of this man who passed away prior to his passing, also took care of the boys. So we have a husband and wife serving the Lord and a wife that served with him. So mother, husband are working together, but now is a mother working all alone. It says again in verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." As a widow and single mother, the burden of providing for a family is now hers alone. Her husband passed away. This woman displayed a right attitude toward God. Instead of blaming him and becoming bitter in her heart, she sought the wisdom of God through the prophet of God, Elisha. In other words, hard times are not a time to run away from God, but to run to God. Let me ask you, how do you respond when you go through hard times? How do you respond when you go through trials? Hold your finger here in 2 Kings. Go with me now to the book of James, please. James chapter 1, page 1698, if you're using a church Bible. And I hope that you'll borrow a Bible for the service as we turn to several scriptures. Page 1698, James chapter 1. So how do you respond? Do you have a tendency to get angry at God when you have a great loss, whether it be a family member, a job, or some situation? How do you respond? Do you blame God? Do you become bitter at God? Do you get angry? This lady responded in faith and wanted to know the best thing to do in the situation. She went to the prophet of God to ask for advice. So how do we respond? How does James tell us to respond? Look in James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. Notice James is speaking to Christians. He says, "My brethren, count it all," what? "Joy, when you fall into diverse temptations," talking about testings, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." James tells us as God's people, when we fall in the trials, temptation, or great losses, we should count it joy, because God is going to take this event and show himself strong on our behalf. Count it joy. David said in Psalm 119:71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." So how do you respond? This woman of faith responded with faith, coming to the prophet God and said, "I need your help, need your direction, how to deal with the situation I'm in, that I've lost my husband." In other words, the priority of a mother is to provide for her children, either with and alongside her husband or alone. This mother's priority was taking care of her children. That was number one. Number two, go back now to 2 Kings, please. We saw the priority of a mother of faith. That was to, alongside her husband, provide for her children. Now that her husband's gone, she's continued to make sure her husband, her children are taken care of. Number two, the problems of a mother of faith. This lady had great problems. First of all, now she was a mother that was single. A mother who's single. Look in verse 1 again, the middle part. Speaking to Elisha, she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Every mother bears the burden to help provide and care for her children alongside her husband. But when the husband is gone or absent, the burden can become excessive. In our church, we have many single mothers. And there's great burden upon her to care for her family and her kids. That was his mother's situation. She was a mother who was single, also a mother in great debt. Look again in verse 1. The latter part of it says, "The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman." basically, evidently, as husband and wife, they struggled financially, and they went out and borrowed money. Now the husband is dead, the creditor come back and wanted his money. In the Hebrew community, borrowers ordinarily raise money by pledging their persons. And if they could not pay when the debt become due, they went into servitude, they and their children. This poor widow spoke out to Elisha in her distress, namely, that the creditor was about to take her two sons as slaves or servants to pay off the debt. The Mosaic law gave a creditor the right to claim the person and the children of a debtor who was unable to pay, and they were obliged to serve as slaves until the debt was paid or until the year of Jubilee, which they would be released. So first of all, she was a mother that was single. She was a mother in great debt, but also she was a mother in deep poverty. Look in verse 2, please. And the latter part of it talks about, thine handmaid hath not anything in her house save a pot of oil. The word pot is the word for flask. I'm talking about a small vessel that held oil. There's two views about this oil. Either the oil was the oil used after bathing to anoint the body, or was oil that was used as olive oil for food or for fuel. It does not say, but she had very little left. It's a small flask of oil. So this woman had many problems. This mother had many problems. She lost her husband. She was in great debt. And now she was about to lose her children. She was confronted with the untimely death of her husband, was faced with the unpayable debt. Given the details of her situation, it seemed that she was experiencing an unbearable dilemma. With no hope for personal support, she was now facing an additional prospect of losing her children. A mother of great problems. Every mother has problems, either one shared with her husband or shared alone or bore alone. Her faith and her service for God did not exempt her from problems. So many times Christians today, in fact, it's even preached from pulpits, that long as you serve God and have great faith, you have no problems. I wish that was true, don't you? Sometimes it actually increases the problems. Many believers think, long as I serve God and live righteously, I won't have any problems. How false that is. Here's a mother of great faith who lost her husband, was in great debt, and was about to lose her children, and did not have money to pay. If you would, please, hold your finger here in 2 Kings. Go with me now to 1 Peter, please. Way back to the back of your Bible, in the New Testament, page 1708, 1 Peter chapter 4. Just because this woman had great faith and served alongside of her husband before he passed away, did not mean she would not have problems. And now has great problems and doesn't have an answer for it, so she went to the prophet of God and asked for his advice. But I want you to notice what God says to his people about problems. In 1 Peter chapter 4, look in verse 12, please. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Here Peter begins by saying, beloved. That's a term of endearment to other believers. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. What he's saying here, when you go through problems, don't think it's something unusual. It's not strange. It's part of life. This woman understood that, and she experienced great problems. Many of you have great problems. So when the problem comes, don't think it's strange if some strange thing happened to you. Skip down to verse 15, please. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a what? Christian, the idea of living the Christian life, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this what? We cannot control our circumstances. We cannot control problems, but we can control how we respond to them. And here it said we should respond by seeking to glorify God no matter what life brings us. This woman lost her husband. She was in great debt, about to lose her children, and had nothing to pay the debt. So, to talk about the problems of a mother of faith. So number one, we saw the priorities of a mother of faith. We saw the problems of a mother of faith. Number three, now look at the practice of a mother of faith. Go back now to 2 Kings chapter 4. Notice first of all her practice when she lost her husband. First of all, she cried out to the man of God. She cried out to Elisha the prophet. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha. This widow turned to Elisha for help in the hour of need. She appealed to him on the basis that her husband had been faithful to the Lord. And I want you to notice the direction, what instructions now the prophet gave her. She cried out to him. Look in verse 2, please. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now notice Elisha's instructions. In verse 3, he says, go and gather as many empty vessels as possible. He goes on to say, go into all the community, go out to all your neighbors, get as many empty vessels as possible, bring them back, and borrow not a few. Now, can you think about this? Here's a woman has a very small flask of oil, and she's asking this man of God for help. And he says, go out and get a bunch of empty vessels and bring them to your house. Can you imagine what she might have been thinking? What's this got to do with my problem? What am I going to do with a bunch of empty pots? But however, said, get them, get as many as you can, go to the community, go to your neighbors, let your sons help you get as many vessels as possible, borrow not a few. So instruction, gather as many empty vessels as possible. Next, he says in verse 4, fill them in the privacy of your home. In verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and shalt set aside that which is full. So what were the instructions? Gather all the vessels as possible. Go to your neighbors. Get your sons to help you. Gather all that you can. Bring them into your house. Bring in the house and shut the door. And then begin to take your small flask of oil and pour it into the pots. In other words, since the widow's need was private, the provision was also to be private. Listen, please. The miracle was to be performed secretly. Attention was not to be called to it. Perhaps so not to distract from what God was about to do in their lives, that during the performance in their hearts, the woman and the two sons can be, the attention can be lifted up to God to give adoration and thankfulness to God for the blessing which he was bestowing. Any interruption from without could have interfered their focus from the Lord. In other words, sometimes God wants to bless us and provide for us privately. He wants us to focus on him and all that he's done for us. He told the woman, gather all these pots, bring them to the house, shut the door, and now watch God work. The truth is, the miracle was to get a small flask of oil and begin to pour it in a pot. Fill up one pot, set it aside. Bring another pot, fill up another pot, set it aside. All the pots they brought, that one flask filled up every one of them. Sometimes God wants to bless us privately. Let me give you some other examples. And do not turn them, but Luke chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus brought a young girl back to life. Listen to what it said. It said, he took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. In Mark 7:35, Jesus healed a man. And straightway his ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake again. And Jesus charged them that they should tell no man. Sometimes he says, tell everybody. Sometimes he says, tell no man. He told this woman and two sons, I'm going to do a miracle for you, but I want you to do it in the privacy of your own home. So sometimes God provides miracles in privacy. So we saw the practice of a mother. She cried out to the man of God. Then she obeyed immediately with faith. She went out. First of all, she did exactly what the prophet told her to do. In verse 5, she went from him and shut the door upon her. She involved her two sons. It said, upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to one of her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel, no more vessel. God provided exactly what she needed. It said, after they filled the last vessel, no vessels left, the oil was stayed. It means it stopped. The widow's faith can be measured by the number of jars she collected in response to the prophet's instruction. Can you imagine if she responded as that of reasoning? Why do I need so many empty pots? Well, she only got two of them and stopped there. Well, she didn't say how many she got, but I bet she got a bunch of them. But she got, just like the prophet said, get as many as you can and bring them to your house. And she did. She got all she could. She cried out to the man of God and obeyed immediately. Then notice next, she enjoyed the provision God provided. She enjoyed the provision. Look at verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God and said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Notice the absence of Elisha demonstrated the miracle happened only by God's power. God's power multiplied little into much, filling all the vessels to meet the widow's need. God provided enough to pay her debt. The prophet said, take the oil, sell it, pay off your debt, be debt free. Then God provided enough to meet her needs and the needs of her family. He said, thou and thy children can live on the rest. God provided because of her faith. The prophet directed the woman to sell the oil after satisfying the claim of her creditor with part of the money, then to support herself and her children with the remainder. Because of the practice of this mother's faith, God provided her needs. No doubt this was a lesson her children will never forget. Can you imagine their eyes? As the mother continued to pour that little oil in, it never stopped coming. Bring another pot. Bring another pot. It's coming out. I bet the boy's eyes got big as saucers, watching what was happening, and saw how God honored the faith of their mother. Go with me now to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, page 1674. I want to encourage you, mothers, to see the influence you can have upon your children. This mother of faith, without a husband, now all alone, did exactly what the prophet of God told her to do, and God blessed and showed himself mighty in her behalf. And no doubt her children will never forget the provision God did in their life. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Here Paul is speaking to a young man named Timothy, a young preacher. Notice what he says about this preacher. 2 Timothy 1, 5. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, means the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Notice the faith of this man. Where did it originate from? It went all the way back to his grandmother and then his mother and now in him. Can I share with you, I do this every Mother's Day, but I want to give my mother praise. Any spirituality in my life as a young child, as a man, can go back to my mother. I thank God for my dad. I would not trade him for the world. But it was my mother who brought me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It was my mother who laid down with us and prayed with us. My mother who read us Bible stories. It was my mother that saw to it that I was in church. And so I thank God for her. That's the same true of Timothy. It went back to the grandmother and thy mother and now in thee also. So moms, never underestimate your influence in your life, in your children's life. Ideally, it's a husband and wife working together. But sometimes the husband may not be dead, but he has no desire, takes no initiative to have part spiritual in the life of the child. Moms, don't give up. You keep doing what's right. You keep teaching your children. God will honor that. So, Pastor, how can we apply this? Let me give you three ways to apply this story. Number one, even though you and your spouse serve the Lord, it doesn't mean you will not have financial and physical problems. Here's a man of God prepared for the ministry. He went in great debt and he died. So the woman had financial burdens and also physical burdens. She lost her husband, even though she served the Lord. Number two, when you do have problems, it is important who you go to for advice. Where did she go to? She went to the man of God who delivered the word of God, how to deal with the situation. But also it's important that you purpose to honor, obey, and trust the Lord throughout it all. Proverbs 3:5. How many know that verse? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Director Pat. My friend, that epitomizes that woman. She was told to get a bunch of empty pots. She trusts the Lord. She did not lean to her own understanding, but all her ways she acknowledged what the prophet God told her. And what did God do? God directed her, God provided for her, and took care of her. Next, God provided for the needs of this poor widow and her sons, and he would do the same for you. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, Peter said, God is not a respecter of persons. No matter what income you have, no matter what state of your finances, my friend, God will take care of you. He took care of this woman who lost her husband, great debt, did not have anything, but it's a small flask of oil. God provided supernaturally to pay off her debt and paid support of the rest of her life. My friend, how many believe God's good? Amen. He was good to her. He'll be good to you. Lastly, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we'll close. You should still be there, hopefully. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Remember, Timothy was a young man whose faith originated in his grandmother and also in his mother and now in him. But I want you to notice what Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in verse 14, please. Paul said, Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So from whom did Timothy gather his faith? For whom did Timothy learn the word of God? It was his mother. Look in the next verse, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Close your Bibles, look at me, please. We saw the priorities of a mother. We saw this mother. Priority was to take care of her children. She worked with her husband to do so for a while, but he passed away. And now alone, she did not drop the ball. She continued to try to provide for her husband. Then we also saw the problems of a mother. She went through so much. Though she was a woman of faith, she lost her husband, had great debt, was about to lose her family, had nothing to pay. She had great problems. Then we also saw the practice of a mother. What did she do? She went to the man of God to hear from God. She wanted to know what God would have her to do. The man of God gave her advice. It did not make sense, yet she did it, and God provided for her. And so we saw her practice. Because of this mother's faith, God did something supernatural to take care of her and her family. He'll do the same for you. But if you're here today and you're not certain heaven's your home, you know, the greatest thing as a mother you can pass to your children is your faith in Christ, to tell them what they have to do to go to heaven. And so as grandparents, we are praying for our grandchildren. We're praying for, I have three of them up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have one now living with my daughter. We're praying for their salvation. Every day we pray for them. And even though we're not the parent, we're the grandparent. But I'm trying to share with you, whether you're a grandparent or a parent, my friend, don't underestimate your influence. Pray for your children, especially pray for their salvation. The greatest thing you pass on is your faith in Christ. But by the way, whether you're a mother, a father, a child, or whoever you are, the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to go through life hoping or wondering where you might spend eternity, because one day we're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. So one day I will die and you will too. The question is, what will happen to you? Where will you go? Will you be in heaven with the Lord? The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. My friend, we are all sinners. And because we've sinned, we've earned something from a holy God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, Ezekiel says. And we owe a penalty. And if we pay the penalty, we have to go to hell to do it. But God in his mercy and grace loves us in spite of our sin and provided a substitute. He sent his son to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. His son came to this earth, took our sin and shame upon himself, and there on the cross he suffered and bled and died for our sin. He was buried, he rose again. And now the God of heaven offers you forgiveness, eternal life, and a home in his heaven for eternity at the expense of his son. And when we by faith receive Christ as our Savior, he forgives us and gives us eternal life. And God wants us to pass that to the next generation. So moms, whether you've got a husband that helps you or not, don't drop the ball. Realize you have great influence in your child's life. I encourage the husband to get help out there. In fact, it's our responsibility as men to do so. Yet so many men do not. So moms, don't underestimate your influence. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, would you do it today? Would you receive his gift of eternal life by trusting Christ as your Savior? Let's bow together, please. As the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as we conclude our service, this morning I've been speaking to moms, to those of you that have children, and seeing what faith can do in the life of a mother towards their family and towards your children. But if you're here today and you've never personally trusted Christ as Savior, I want to encourage you to place your faith in what Christ did for you on the cross and depend upon him and his finished work for your salvation. And you can do it right now, right where you sit in the quietness of your mind. You can place your dependence upon Christ. And the Bible says the moment you do that, he would forgive you and give you eternal life. If you're not certain heaven's your home and like to have that assurance, why not talk to God and get it settled? In your own mind, you can talk to God and maybe just say something like this. Just say, "Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge, I admit that I'm a sinner. And God, because I've sinned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that you provided a substitute, your son, and sent him to pay that debt for me. I believe that when Jesus died, he died for me. He paid my sin debt. He was buried, and I believe he rose again. And God, right here today, realizing I cannot save myself, I'm trusting Christ to be my Savior. I'm placing my faith, my dependence upon him and what he did for me so I can have a home in heaven. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior right here today." As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, my friend, did you talk to God and pray that prayer with me? Did you trust Christ as your Savior? If you did, according to the Bible, right now, heaven's your home. God saves you the moment you do that. But I'd like to know if anyone did that today. I'd like to pray for those who made that decision this morning. Let me first of all say, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to have you forward. I want to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed so I can at least pray for you. So no one look around. If right here today, if you understood that and you trusted Christ as your Savior, and allow me to include you in the closing prayer. Would no one look around? Right where you're at, would you simply raise your hand and indicate that you did that this morning? Anyone at all? "Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me this morning? Anyone at all today? Here's my hand, Pastor. I understood that. I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me?" Father, I hope that means each one here has already made that decision. And Father, we pray your blessing upon each one here, especially our mothers. And Father, the impact they've had upon our lives. And Father, I pray that you would bless them in a very special way and make this day a special day for them. And that you might bless the home and all those around them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.